Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome. This is part three of the Drunk Cast with Chris, with Stu, with Brett, and with Ramesh. This week we're brought to you by BBC's Asian Provocateur, available on iPlayer. And also you can rent Ramesh's stand-up show. You can rent it or buy it on Sky. It's available
in a lot of places. And you can download it illegally as well.
You can download it illegally. Yeah. That's I mean, if you're a cool kid, that's one way to do it. I can recommend some good sites. I don't actually watch nothing illegally. I'm not into it.
No.
It's weird. I like.
Do you know what? Honestly,
hang on. Let's drop the theme music.
Sorry. Yeah. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. Ding ding ding. Go on, Ramesh.
I used to think. Are any of you old enough to remember LimeWire?
Yeah.
Right, so I used to think that was all right, right? Mm. And then as soon as I started getting people tweeting me going, I'll just let you know, I'm not going to buy a DVD, but I've downloaded it illegally, I started to become quite the authoritarian on the whole piracy thing.
It's weird because it's not something I rave about too much, but I genuinely think I get people ask me a lot, I mean, before we get into the months, we'll do a little bit of MMA talk now, because I know you two aren't into MMA, so it'll be brief.
Yeah.
But people ask me a lot where they can stream the UFC.
Can I just say, for the purpose of the podcast, Brett just rolled his eyes.
He did.
I just want to acknowledge that.
He rolled them. He rolled them and held it for a long time, wanted a lot of attention for it. He didn't do a casual roll. He did a theatrical roll.
Listen, I'm such a fan of the Drunk Guys that I hang in there when you do your MMA chat.
Oh, man, I respect that. That must be tough.
You know,
well, it's going to be very brief, but I have people ask me a lot, where can I watch, where can I stream it? And I never kind of give anywhere because I pay whatever it is, £12 a month or whatever for BT Sports, which is where you can watch it, and I get at least £12 a month worth of pleasure out of it. Do you know what I mean?
As a direct calculation that you've
made. That'd be two or three pints in the pub, and I watch 12 or so hours a month at least, and I really enjoy all of them. So it's an odd one. But the brief bit of MMA talk I wanted to have was about a fight, a guy called Ryan Hall.
Oh my God!
Yeah, no. You're gonna enjoy this. Yeah. A guy called Ryan Hall.
You're gonna enjoy this. Like all of them.
No, you will. I promise you. Because Chris hasn't seen.
I'm so glad he brought this up.
A guy called Ryan Hall.
Did a fight.
Fought a guy called Gray Maynard, right? And
you've talked about him. I've heard his name.
I watched it and I was like, that is one of my fights of the year. I
then went the end. My fights of the year, fights of MMA of all time.
Shut up, Ramesh. I then went online and everyone seemed to rate it as one of the worst fights they have ever seen. That's why it's an interesting discussion point. So this guy's style is based around submissions. Yeah. So he wants to get it on the ground. Brett, you're going to enjoy it.
I think this is why I struggle with it.
Is this like Stu saving that guy's
life?
Honestly, it's just interesting, right? So he's on the feet, he's doing a lot of kicks to keep distance. So, Brett, you listening?
Brett, why are you looking at your fucking phone?
So
put your phone down.
This is what's going on with the Iran peace talk.
So for Gray Maynard to get in, he has to throw some punches to get in. Every time he'd do that, Ryan Hall would go limp and fall to the floor, which is a technique I've never seen in a fight before. Yeah. But I found it fascinating because it's like, how do you counter that as a fighter? If you were in a pub and you're having a fight with someone, every time you went near him, he went limp and went on the floor. And then if you backed off, he got up again. And I found it fascinating. Anyway, March.
Do you know? Do you know? Because you're a killer, Chris. You're a killer, Chris. Is this right? I got a guy who I went to school with called Will Brayshaw. Shout out to Will Brayshaw. Lovely guy. Love
him. What's up, Will?
he went to like China and like hung out in like a monastery where you get up at 5 a.m. get beaten with a bag of grain, right? So he learned how to be some sort of killing machine, sort of like a, I don't know what the words are. The killing machine. And when he came home to England, so everyone was like, oh, how was China and stuff? And my friend Paul said to him, how high can you kick? And he went, I'll kick you in the fucking head. And he...
didn't teach him that in China.
How old are you? Because I thought you were over 10.
But he has to, if he was in a pub and someone started a fight on him, by law, because of what he's learned, he has to say 3 times...
Candyman.
I have...
that's a high five that is. That is amazing.
He has to say, I am basically a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
I have to warn you that if you start this fight... But he says,
what
but I was like,
shit.
Of course no, you're going to get
legally, legally.
People are going to fight you.
There's a degree of truth
he's
in that.
Received.
Tell me.
Yeah, there's
tell
a degree
me.
Of truth in that. Even on my karate license, there used to be that.
You have to
there's
say,
a, there's a
by the way,
that you're total badass.
I knew you'd know. I knew you'd
it's
know.
It's fucking bullshit. No, it's, so you've got to do that as well.
You have to say.
You've got a license that states.
Please tell me why you've never showed me your karate license.
Is that what you were talking to Sensei about?
I was a fraud. Yeah. No, because obviously I don't study it anymore. That was year. That was like you know, so long ago.
And so I
now.
Said to my sensei, do they have to hear me say it 3 times?
But no.
You have to say.
It wasn't on my license to say, hold on, I've got to stop you now. You're going insane. Well, you're beating my friend up, but I've got to tell you this 3 times before I can intervene. No,
so
you don't
what
have
if,
to,
no, I think it's why. If you front this guy and he'll go, excuse me, sir, I should let you know I'm a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
You punch him in his fucking face. Has he then got to tell you another 2 times while you're punching him before he can...
Before he can take you down.
I'm a lethal weapon. I'm a lethal weapon. I'm a lethal weapon.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's it. No very idea. Odd. But yeah, there's a degree of truth in that. Especially what they especially what they do out there.
There's a degree of truth. Do you know how many degrees there are?
There's 1 degree of truth in that. Out of 360.
Less than 1%, mate. Yeah. What if you're abroad and you don't know what he's
listen,
saying?
Listen, mate, why are you to me? I don't
abroad,
have enough
allowed to travel abroad.
If you're abroad,
learning.
You just got to pinch their earlobe really tight.
And chuck some water in their head.
Undo your shirt.
Is that the end of the MMA section?
Yeah, that was it. No one was particularly engaged.
McGregor Diaz was that month, by the way. First one.
McGregor Diaz.
I want to talk about McGregor Diaz.
McGregor.
Right, I saw... A little, like, there's a press chat with McGregor Diaz.
Press
right?
conference.
And McGregor smashed it, right?
Yeah.
So Diaz is one of the least charismatic human beings around, right?
100%.
And I don't criticise him for
that.
No. I think you're a fighter.
Him and his brother are just so unbelievably real.
You to be interesting. You know when people say, like, footballers are boring? I think, well, you play great football. I don't expect to be an eloquent speaker.
No,
right?
Totally.
So Diaz is shit at public speaking, right? Fine. So do you remember that press that little news report where Diaz and McGregor were next to each other?
Yep.
And then the reporter said, "Oh, how much are you getting paid for the fight?"
Yeah.
And Diaz said, "I'm getting this." And McGregor goes, "Well, you're not getting much till I bless you. The God blessed you, right?" Like, and started like fucking giving all that shit.
Didn't know he's American.
Yeah, he's Indian.
You're not going for any Irish rolls, are you?
Listen, that's why the Martian.
That was the Martian.
Get Ridley on the phone.
And then, what was so funny for me was for McGregor to be so cocky, and Diaz, like, he threw off his earphones and, like, like fucking whatever. And then he just got sparked out. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was pretty. I think if you're McGregor, like, I think you can give it the big talk. But giving the big talk is impressive as long as you're 100% sure.
You can never,
like, when you watch it, like, for years, you can't ever say for sure, and that's what makes it more exciting.
Yeah, but in a press conference, you can't go, oh, I'm a bit scared, I don't think I've got much of a chance.
God, he looks horrible.
McGregor wasn't going, I'm going to beat him. He was fucking making out like Diaz should be honoured to even be in the same fucking realm.
The reason McGregor... in my opinion, kind of deserves all the furore he's got. Is he played? Yeah. He's a great gambler. He played high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
He went in there and talked a massive game, which means if he delivers, it seems all the more impressive.
Yeah.
The fact is, he's beaten,
humble when he loses.
The best thing he's ever done is he's had, I think, a 7-fight win streak.
Yeah.
That's the best he's ever done. A lot of people have done that. It's still impressive. He's beaten in that win streak. He had Aldo and Poirier and some amazing people, but that's not that impressive.
You know.
But he talks it up so
well. Do you know what to me about? I know.
It's such high risk, high reward that it's kind of, because again, if you do get Sparta, you look like more of a fool. That's like
it's the bigger it's a bigger downfall. But it's kind of funny.
On. You're into MMA.
Yeah.
Chris, you're into MMA.
Yeah.
Stuart, you're into MMA.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I'm really not into it.
Okay, fine. So I like boxing, right?
Yeah.
So MMA, theoretically, it shits on boxing, right? Because you can do whatever you want.
As a fight as an
art. You can't do whatever you want.
Do you guys look down on boxing as a result?
No.
I adore boxing.
I love boxing. Yeah. I can't enjoy it as much since I got into MMA.
There's so many
restrictions.
Yeah.
I'll be watching something thinking, just throw a knee or just take him down. Or
last weekend, I watched White versus Chisora and then Joshua fight, right? And the White Chisora fight was actually quite exciting. For
fantastic.
Boxing, very great fight, right? Both two people that had no idea about tactics whatsoever. They just punched
angry,
themselves out
there,
in the first three rounds and then they breathed out their ass for the next three, right?
Yeah.
Well, to the end of the fight. Joshua's fight, he was comprehensive in his victory.
Yep.
He was comprehensive. But there's no way that you could argue that fight was exciting viscerally as an MMA fight, right? So
completely.
Are you watching that thinking this is fucking boring? Like, because Joshua is a phenomenal athlete. Like, I think he's going to go down. I personally think he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest boxers of all time. He's a victim of his era. He's a victim of his era in terms of, there are not great heavyweights for him
to
fight.
No, for him to fight.
I mean, that's it.
You can't be that great if you don't have a great opponent.
Yeah.
He's got Klitschko lined up now, so again, it's a massive name.
He's
going to
spark out Klitschko. Yeah. But the thing is, Klitschko's on his way down. That's the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's a tough one to say, though, because
I think Klitschko's going to give him a lot of trouble.
What's the biggest name Tyson beat?
I'm going to tell you. You know Tyson.
There's two or three. There's two or three reasonable size names on Tyson's resume. So to say you're a victim of your era is a tough one, because Tyson he's possibly my favourite heavyweight of all time.
Right,
but
actually,
he didn't beat these amazing boxers.
But he did monster it. Like, he did he ate opponents.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He won the heavyweight championship.
Sure.
The youngest ever person to win the heavyweight championship. He beat Larry Holmes. He beat Michael Spinks. Like, he beat monsters.
Again,
legends.
But again, you've just said Klitschko's on his way out.
Yeah.
The monsters he beat tended to be on their way out and on their way down. But you don't kind of, that doesn't get noted on the annals of history.
Mate,
it's kind
know,
of it's,
you
it's
know,
the names
do you
and all
know
this.
When Tyson was fighting Bruno,
God, do you know what
time,
that was?
Right?
That was the main. That was the first real time I started getting hyped into boxing.
Yeah. Same for me, right? Yeah. So Sky were fucking big in that fight.
How about
up,
you?
Right?
Are you Brett? And was it the same for you?
It was similar.
So Bruno. I don't know if you remember this, but Bruno, because they were trying to get the pay per view. Like, it's the first one of the first times they did pay per view on Sky. Right? They're fucking bigging it up, and Bruno, I don't know if they'd fucking prodded him to do this, but he was going, like, I'm going to fucking knock him out, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
I was getting really excited. The Sky magazine that you got with your Sky subscription had a scorecard on the front of it, right, for the Bruno Tyson fight, right? So I was fucking excited. Paid for it, invited all my mates round to watch the fight, right? So we're all excited getting there. Watched the first round, I fucking burnt the scorecard because Bruno
was getting
fucking arse.
He was getting lit up. And I thought that about the hype train. But that's the interesting thing about that transition you're talking about between boxing and MMA. And mine was the fact that I started watching a few MMA fights. I got lucky, I saw some big knockouts and whatnot.
Mm.
And I fell in love with it. But you can never get, like, in one UFC, say, for example, tournament where there's eight or nine people fighting, there's going to be two or three amazing solid fights. Like, on a boxing card, you can be a bit disappointed throughout it.
The main problem, I think, and the reason for that is the length of MMA fights. So it's 3 5-minute rounds.
Yeah.
A boring boxing fight is a big chunk of your evening.
Not always, because the undercards now on, like, and I would agree with what you said, But fucking bad. About a year ago. But I think this year, I think Eddie Earn's putting together really good cards. Mm. And I think the whole cards are really good.
I think that's what's testament to how excited it's got. Is that Brett's looking at his phone while we're talking about it.
Yeah,
and I think that really highlights...
But genuinely...
I think people that are outside of the sport.
The problem for me is with boxing as a sport and as a setup, because even if it's a great card, you can still have a boring fight. The same with MMA. You can have an amazing card and none of them deliver. But the fact is, if it's boring, it's over that bit quicker and you're watching the previews for the next fight. You're getting ready to go.
The thing is, you look at it, right? And if you're not into the sport, the problem is... Is it the Joshua fight? Joshua Molina. Both of them are better boxers than either of the ones in the White Chisora fight. Yeah. Right? I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
But because White and Chisora's more exciting, both their defenses were shitter.
Yeah.
So it's more exciting to see them getting sparked out. Like there's loads of punches thrown. Joshua is an incredible fighter. And when I was watching it, I was in Derry doing my last tour show, and we were watching it on a Periscope for like a legal. Periscope feed.
Outrageous.
And all the comments were coming up were like, this fight is shit compared to the last one. But you've got two people that are doing a better job than the previous fight, right?
Mm. It's not as exciting.
Exactly.
But the fight before was part of the hype train, like, because basically they done throwing chairs at each other in press conferences and all that. And it was a grudge
match.
It was two kind of mid-level heavyweights, and the hype was there, and it was... And I think your average kind of boxing fan, or your armchair boxing fan, was like, oh, it's going to be a proper tear-up.
Yeah.
They hate each other. And I think a lot of people got more excited about that than watching Anthony Joshua put on a masterclass.
It's a perfect example of the undercard overtaking the main fight. Do you know? Because you sort of knew that Joshua was going to win that fight because that guy is phenomenal. Like, he's clinical and he's going to do the job.
It was a mismatch as well. He's far better than that guy. Yeah, yeah. And if he would have, the day before, gone out there and gone, I'm going to fuck him up and I'm going to fucking... do this, do that, and threw a table at him, that would have been as exciting as anything else.
Look at someone like Ali. Ali was like fighting people that he knew he was going to beat. So how the fuck do you generate interest in that fight? You predict which round they're going to knock them out.
That's what Joshua's missing.
If you're Joshua, you know you're going to beat him, so fucking give us a bit extra and say, round four, I'm going to spot this cunt out.
He's just a humble dude, isn't he?
Don't sell fights or grow the sport as well, though.
He's in good shape, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
You mentioned that.
Have you seen him? Joshua? You'd like, oh, he's really put together, mate.
I would say,
genuinely, I'm not just saying this as like bullshit.
Yeah.
Genuinely, almost as good shape as Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
I genuinely mean that.
He's up there. So, let's talk a bit more about boxing and MMA. No, really, Brett. Chris, let's go to March. Bring your notes out. What have you got?
Movies in March.
Yes.
And do you know what came out in February, which we missed? So, fuck it, let's move it into March. Deadpool came out.
Deadpool.
That's probably my movie.
I love Deadpool. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, sorry.
Because you were saying you're growing a little bit tired of Stuart, you were saying
it's a weird one with superhero movies, because Marvel, I think, have found a perfect formula in that at points it can be generic and repetitive, but I thoroughly enjoy it. I can't get enough of it.
Let's be honest, Age of Ultron, Avengers 2 was fucking dog shit. I loved it, mate.
You may not.
Fuck you, man.
You may not.
I
decline.
Shit, bro.
No means no. I love it. It's the same film over and over again, but it's a new version of it, and I'm into that. I enjoy it.
Okay, fine. You look at Avengers 2,
yeah,
and compare it to something like Ant-Man, right?
Yeah, I love that, man.
My problem with Avengers 2 was that you no longer were excited about seeing them all together, mm-hmm. so they've lost that. That's not their fault, but they've lost that, right?
Mm-hmm. So they tried to cause dissent between them.
Which is fine. But like, I don't give a shit about this grand scale destruction.
Yeah, that's that
do you know
is,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Ant-Man is a fucking heist movie.
Totally.
They've taken it really small.
That's wanky talking about Ant-Man, but they've taken it really small.
That's what I think they've done so good on, because Ant-Man was a heist movie and kind of just a comedy in places. Yeah. A typical Paul Rudd type, lovable, adorable comedy. And Deadpool, in a similar way, is just, it's just a brutal
Deadpool
comedy.
Is not
they've got
comedy.
The advantage of Paul Rudd. Personally, I could watch him do anything, same, yeah. And yeah. I think he's incredible. Yeah. Like, yeah. I love
yeah.
that dude.
Yeah, I think
Deadpool,
he's the greatest.
Amazing. And the thing is, Deadpool, when it before it came out...
The marketing is some of the best marketing ever.
If you've read the comic book, you know that Deadpool breaks the fourth wall so much.
Yeah,
like, he'll talk to the reader. He'll talk about... He'll break the... And what I was nervous about is when they did the film... I would see him jump behind the camera and like they would break it in that way. And I was getting nervous about that. But when I watched the film, it was it was brilliant.
The Ryan Reynolds was obviously a huge, like went retarded for Deadpool. Yeah. Like, you could tell because you can't always make it. You can't always convert comic books to film.
It's one that people
now
were scared
we're
about
to a
for
world
so
where
long.
They're getting so fucking good at it.
Yeah,
and it's weird because for so long, like when all these good. When Marvel really sort of started hitting the nail on the head with them and got into their rhythm, I was just so happy.
Yeah, because Ryan Reynolds, let's not forget that he was in Wolverine Origins.
Oh, it's the worst movie. The worst.
And was one of the worst things I've
ever
seen.
That's as bad as Nick Fury. You see Nick Fury with David Hasselhoff?
Oh, yeah.
Watch that shit, man.
I mean,
it's awful.
Everyone is saying, or the preview screenings of Logan, people are saying it's one of the best things that's ever happened. They've got that right on track.
The trailer for Logan.
Yeah.
It's
finding the right thing.
It's small. It's because they kept it small.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's the same with fucking.
They've said essentially it's a western.
I don't give a fuck about watching loads of buildings collapse. Right?
Yeah, it's the same with the. You know, it's the same with the news. People cannot engage with a huge that you say. Oh, there's a big war going on. Everyone goes. You go. Oh, there's a little child on its own. You go. Oh, I care.
The tsunami. The Boxing Day tsunami in Sri Lanka and like. Yeah. When they talk about the numbers that have died, right, you go, okay, that's bad. The Guardian, I'll never forget, The Guardian, the next day, they ran a story with just individual stories of people that were in that situation.
Yeah.
And you read that and it breaks your fucking heart. That's what you want. You want that shrink.
Because of human behaviour, you can only, because of our pack behaviour, we can only remember like 200 people.
Yeah.
So once you get beyond that point, you don't know. God, like, what the fuck was this coming from?
I love it when everyone gets shocked at Chris being showing any level of intelligence.
I love alternative Chris.
I love when Chris gets Stuart. Mate. I love it.
No, but it's
so you can't relate with it.
It's said it's
is that the actual
genetic
number
200?
It's 200. It's 100
it's
to
said
200.
That it's because we that was the community sizes that we were meant to live in, and originally as tribes would live in 200 or so, and that's how many you can compute and relate to. And again, like anything grander than that, you can't take in. But what's great about the superhero films at the moment is they're just doing genres that happen to have a superhero films. I can't remember. Which comedian it was, I can't think, but it was saying he got stick from someone for having
Robin Sranganathan
for doing
if it's getting stick, then it probably is.
it was for doing a Jew joke,
right?
Saying it's not right to do a Jew joke. And his point was, no, I did a joke that had a Jew in it, that's not a Jew joke, it's not offensive, just one of the characters was Jews, and it's what the superhero movies are starting to do with. They're
Jew
not
jokes.
Superhero movies. Jew jokes.
Finally! That's all I thought. Spider-Man. Spider-Man, call someone a kike for fuck's sake.
No, but they're just making films that happen to have superheroes in. As I said, Ant-Man's a great example. And again, not that, I mean, we seem to be praising Brett too much, but it's what I love about Super Bob is it's not a superhero movie.
No,
it's almost a rom-com.
You know, can I say something? I don't really like praising Brett because he's an alpha male.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
But
Brett, you've got your shirt off,
no,
mate.
But the thing is...
I think it's Stu was trying to save my life earlier.
But what I think about the thing like Super Bob, the concept of the film is amazing. But what I think is above and beyond that amazing is that Brett decided he was going to make a film, and then he thought, I'm going to make that happen, right? With whatever other cunts are involved. But he said, oh, I'm going to make that happen. And now it's going to happen. And he, like, devoted himself to making a... dude, that guy over there made a fucking film.
Mate, to
from
be fair,
nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there was a big chunk in the middle where he fucked about doing other... silly shit.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it'll probably happen at some point.
Don't get me wrong.
Just wait.
Don't get me wrong. He doubled his
honestly,
comedy, and we all know he's a shit stand-up. But the thing is, the point is, like, I think...
Honestly, the first
two episodes of Corner Boys were to stop him having to do something with Super Bowl.
But I genuinely
Brett, chase that up.
Brett, I'm telling you this honestly, mate. Yeah. You actually were an inspiration to me because I thought, this is a guy that
really,
decided...
Not me.
Honestly, he decided he was going to make a film. Yeah. Not you, Pip, I'll be honest with you.
No.
Like Pip, if you wanted to, if you want to be too honest, you made me believe that people that could overcome disability to do something. But with regards to Brett,
that's my favourite Pip put down for years.
Mate, I'm an inspiration.
With regards to Brett,
mate, I can park in disabled base.
I texted you this and I told you this.
You did text me.
He decided that he's going to make a fucking film, then he just decided that he's going to make it.
And what's better fucking good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm so used to people saying, I'm going to do this, and they do something they've got not got the fucking ability or talent to.
Yeah.
This guy...
And John Drever.
Very strongly, John Drever.
But again, there is an element...
Thank you,
I mean, we're saying that in a joking manner, but it's an important element, because John is so key in the drive and productions of making it physically happen. But again, it's that pair, and it's an amazing...
Well, I haven't met that cunt. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I can't
give credit to somebody I haven't not met.
Yeah. But, yeah... He's massively...
It's like the tsunami. It's just too many names now.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, John's massively racist, but that aside, and it's one of them where the reason like I've shown it to a lot of mates is exactly that, because there's going to be that view of, oh, my mates, I made a film, that you're going to be like, all right, I'll have to put this shit on and watch it. Yeah. And then, as you said, it's actually good. It's actually really good. It's not just... Put some shit together in it. Yeah.
No, but it is also the production of that is cleverly executed.
Oh, and fucking, let's get off Brett's dick for a minute, for fuck's sake.
But it is.
Let's get back to being sick of superhero movies.
There's a limitation on your budget.
Yeah.
So, and from that limitation came creativity. And I think that sometimes they throw so much. Look at Transformers 2. I was a massive Transformers fan.
Thank you. Finally, somebody wants to look at Transformers 2. I've been waiting for this for years.
Let's pop it on.
We're in March 2016. We're finally getting to.
Can I just put a little bit of Brett's beautiful, humble insecurity out here? The first time me and Brett met up, just to have a chat about ideas. I got a text from him afterwards just letting me know about Super Bob, because one of the things I was saying was I had two superhero ideas I was working on, and one of them was his super weakness is his powers don't work on Wednesdays, and that was my whole thing, he tries to keep it a secret, he has to fake super actions and so on and so forth, and we had that chat, and then I literally was on my way home and I got a text saying, look, I just need to let you know that the one that we're doing, Super Bob, is filmed on his day off. And he was like, "That I don't want you to think that small similarity is something I've stolen from your idea there." I was like,
Transformers 2. Can we talk about Corner Boys? No, I want to talk about Transformers 2.
Oh, man.
Corner Boys. Right? Look, I'm going to be absolutely honest, because I've had a bit to drink, right? I hate...
You've literally drunk a bottle of rum.
Yeah. I hate other people's success. I genuinely hate, to the core of my being... other people's success.
Yeah.
And when I see a Facebook post, I'm just doing this next week. I think, I hope that fucking fails. And also, in the failure of that, I hope that you die. That's where I'm coming from. When I saw Corner Boys, I put this with you, I wanted to be shit. I genuinely wanted to be shit. It's fucking brilliant. I fucking love it. We need to make more. I'm not saying that.
It's just fucking great, man.
Yeah, it's so funny, man.
It's good.
Have you got a favourite one?
Do you know what I love? There's nothing I love more than comedy that looks like it's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
My genuine highlight, I think
it was on the first one, was we kind of improvised an idea on the day on one bit, and we literally were in tears of laughter trying to say it. It never made it into the edit. Yeah. It wasn't funny. But we were literally in tears. Like, we'd gone through, like, it's the bit where we're saying two and doing different signals for what the drugs are.
Oh,
and you were saying, well, say B, like say A's, say B means two. And all that, and then there was a bit where I just had to pause and say, but what if I see a bee? And it would just had us like, John was getting annoyed with us, because we were literally, every time the pause would happen, they go, But, and then one of us had just corpse and be in tears of laughter. And yeah, it was just, that was my favourite moment.
Can we talk about Asian Provocateur, my favourite show of the year?
Tell you what, there was a band I used to like called Serious Problems.
Brett Goldstein is the only person that likes Asian Provocateur. That
Loud and Proud. No. I'm Loud and Proud.
My mum loves it, but that's not an insult. My mate Natasha
Your
Fox
loves it.
Honestly, I was saying before we were recording, it's the most recommended show I've had this year that I've not watched. I will watch it.
Pip, the only thing that annoys me is that you and me are mates, and it's been recommended to you, and still, you've resisted.
Mate, that's how he feels all the time when he's like, I've recorded this thing. I'm like, what?
People don't listen.
Can't be bothered, mate.
I feel comfortable with that, knowing that you're on. On the drunk cast, and it's like the eighth one, and you've never listened to one. So I feel comfortable until you invite me on Asian Provocateur. Yeah. I don't have to worry too much about it.
I'd love to have you on,
all over there. Let's have all of us on, just getting drunk. It won't make any sense.
With your mum, I'd love that.
Series 3.
Season 3.
What do you mean? How do you mean? Pit with my mum. What do you mean? Clarify your exact.
Just, she's, you know, it's you and her. You're like a.
You and him. And her. And him.
The reason I like Asian Provocateur.
are we going to talk about any months at all?
March. What a month.
What happened in March? Chris.
Someone died.
Films. Music.
I think. Was Kendrick Lamar's
big album?
It was indeed.
What music have you been.
Untitled Unremembered.
Pardon? What music. I like when you're on a podcast, you seem shocked to be addressed. Excuse me.
he was on his phone, as if
we don't know each other.
What?
As if I've just spoken to you on the tube. It's like I've just asked you something on the tube. What? So excuse me. Like we've just been talking for 3 hours. I beg your pardon, mate. What?
The fuck you say to me?
I swear you took a headphone out. What, mate? I was just asking if there's any music you've been into this year. Kendrick's album came out.
It doesn't have to be March. We won't be that fucking.
Listen, Kendrick released that the Untied album, the Offcuts album, right? Mm-hmm. And I really liked it, but I do sort of feel like, I'm going to say something very controversial now, hip hop wise. Kendrick and J. Cole, I know that they're artistically very valued, but I do find it a little bit. I do think they're both overrated. I do think they're not. Kendrick's Offcuts album was good.
Yeah, I think it's a funny one because it's made a weird turn.
Yeah.
When I had the beat down, and it was my show on XFM that was all kind of underground hip hop and spoken word.
And can I say, on behalf of the nation, I know this sounds wanky. But I love that he did that show, man.
It was good.
I genuinely loved it. I listened to the first one.
No, but the thing is, it's like. We don't have a show like that. For people that like music, a show like that.
Very true. You end up channel surfing. Whenever I'm on the radio,
do you know what, Pip? I know I've been drinking, but I do want to say this.
Can you say some more things on behalf of the nation?
Yeah. I'm speaking on behalf of the nation. Do you know what I love about you, dude? It's right.
Go ahead.
You like the shit that I like, but you're not precious about it. And that's the problem I have with people that are into hip hop, they feel like they've got to preserve some sort of fucking hierarchy or whatever.
That was the Kendrick thing on the beatdown. Yeah. I chose to play several Kendrick songs because I think the people who are into a lot of underground hip hop and the stuff I'm into assume Kendrick at that point was just another mainstream rapper.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit. And the fact is that swimming pools. Yeah. My.
I was just thinking, can we order a Chinese?
I mean, we definitely can. On that point, that swimming pool song, if that had been released by any underground rapper, people would have been all over it. But because it was a mainstream rapper, people were like, oh, it's just Drank. If you listen to it, it's about addiction. It's a deep and amazing song.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things trying to push that.
Was he mainstream at that point? Like, Good Kid, Mad City?
Yeah, because
swimming pools like took him over, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think. Like, he pushed him to that point.
And it was at the same time as all the stuff with ASAP and all these.
We talk about, like, that's a song that when you're in a club, I'm always reticent to play that or hesitant because I think it's so slow. I think everyone's going to be like, oh, fucking hell, what's he doing?
Yeah.
But I've never had a bad reaction off swimming pools. It's a banger. People always, like, you well, can be playing drum and bass before that. You play swimming pools, everyone's going for it.
Yeah. It's weird because we had Yoda on my podcast.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Shut Them Down, the Public Enemy remix.
Yeah.
The Pete Rock remix.
The Pete Rock remix. Yeah. Oh, my God, that was on Rap Attack.
That was amazing.
Do you remember that, bro?
He told me that whenever he dropped that at a club, that was fucking like end at the night. Like the people would just be like, "What the fuck?"
Really?
Because like even
when that
just
beat drops, that
no, but just because you enjoy it in your headphones, that doesn't mean that's gonna fucking
mate.
No,
it's very true. I've been I've had people come to Lizards before, and I had this one kid who was just standing there, and after half an hour of my set, he called me aside and was just like,
"Pony,
what you doing?" And I was like, so hello, he's like, why aren't you playing the real shit? And I'm like, what do you mean? And basically he listened to the beatdown, but the beatdown was a radio show for listening to at home. It's not what you want to hear in the club all the time. No. And I was like, in the club, different. I'm drunk and there's certain things I want to hear. I don't need to hear
Pony.
A spoken word. Oh, no, I do need to hear Pony.
That's what I mean.
At home or in the club. but it's a funny one. Just, I mean, we're on Pony now, but I've got another Pony story.
Go on.
I exercise. I've got a little gym out the back of my house.
That's the start of that conversation. So I exercise.
I've got a little gym out the back of my house, and I've been doing CrossFit for a year. I'm having a salmon ladder built.
Do you know when I first arrived today and you walked into the other room to say hello to me? I thought, this guy fucks, he looks ripped.
Have you been, like, seriously?
I've been genuinely, I've been on it for a while now.
Because last time...
A shout out to Sam Marshall.
When I did Distraction Pieces, you look like fucking shit. But today, you look wicked.
What's a salmon
in his hair.
That's the opposite of what your wife did. Oh, when you turned up in that outfit. You've shit on the rest of my life, but given me a high now. So that's good, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But after about 6 months, I realised I was getting, like, some pains. This goes somewhere, I promise. So I realised I wasn't... doing enough stretches before and after my exercises because a lot of it is high impact stuff. So shut the fuck up, this
fuck.
It's explosive. It's explosive.
See, you didn't even have to add. It's a lot of it's high impact stuff. We could have gone. Yeah, I get that.
No, that's
a lot of it is Herculean.
No, high
you
impact.
Can't say high impact after saying I'm thinking of buying a salmon ladder.
No, the salmon ladder is the perfect example.
What's a salmon ladder?
You cannot say it casually, by the way.
A lot of this is high impact.
This
stuff.
Isn't for the people on the podcast, but I'm going to show the guys here. A video. I'm going to show Brett a video of me doing the salmon ladder.
Of you doing the salmon ladder. Hang on.
Oh, show me it. Oh, I don't care.
Tell you what, that's some high impact.
Oh, I see.
See?
Is it high impact, Brett?
It's explosive.
Watch it again because you didn't really see, but hang in and then. So it's got to jump up with no. So it's just explosive.
What, and you keep going up?
You keep going up. But you jumps just, up. Okay. But that's why it's a salmon ladder, because salmon swim upstream. Because they go... Anyway. But it's high impact explosive stuff. But
By the way, can I just clarify? He's explaining what salmon do, and this is a man that wants Alan to die.
Yeah. I'm looking for a job, mate. I got this. I'm like...
As
the salmon go up the river, similar to me in my carriage.
In my high impact explosive.
It's high impact. But... one of the stretches I have to do is a back stretch. It's back and hips. It's opening up your hips, sexy. And it's your back. It's basically a slow twerk. You're basically squatting and slowly twerking.
I love this.
While I'm warming up and doing my stretches, I put my workout playlist on. And Pony and Work by Rihanna are the two that generally come on as I'm doing that. And I always think if anyone looked through my conservatory gym type bit, what they will think.
Can you imagine happening? That group of people that regularly look through Pip's conservatory gym.
A 6'4" bearded man slowly twerking
to
Pony.
Are you 6'4"?
Yeah.
You're not 6'4". Only
6'4".
Did you know that, Stu?
I would have said 3. I don't think you're taller than me.
Calm down a peg.
Fine.
No one knows where you live except for us two and your mum.
Yeah.
Mike, why have you never invited me to your house?
Yeah,
you're welcome anytime, mate.
He's got a
that
really
was
cool,
to Ramesh.
He's got a cool. he's got. Can a I cool have a
go in the cinema? Do you remember when I saw you in the cinema? Do you remember?
Yes, we didn't know each other, and we were both in the cinema on our own.
Yeah.
The view across the road, in fact.
Yeah.
Just down the road from me, and what I'm that antisocial that we saw each other. I was aware, and I waited until we'd left to tweet him saying. Just saw you in the cinema. like, rather than actually interacting person, went to a left, just said, I hope you enjoyed that. I can't remember what film
what was
it was. What was it?
I watched Grudge Match. What did you watch?
Oh, God.
I
saw that on a plane and I wanted to jump out.
I'm pretty sure I'd watched...
Transformers 2?
No, Green Arrow. Was it Green Arrow? No, Green Lantern,
Green
sorry.
Lantern, mate.
Green Lantern. So neither of us have watched classics.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad. It was quite good, actually.
What? Are you fucking joking?
No, I didn't think it was half as bad as what everyone thought, man.
I didn't hate it, but...
No, I didn't
think it was that bad. I want to ask Brett something, because we've been chatting music and
we've been chatting lots of hip-hop and stuff. What do you listen to?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I lost track of everything, so I listened to The Roots until they hung out with David Blaine. And then that died for me.
Now what you got, buddy?
Now I'm just listening to fucking this Drunkcast podcast when I'm out and about.
Well, that's fair enough, man. We need to play more music on the Drunkcast.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Roots album?
I fucking love the live album. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it's great, but I think Phrenology is the best thing they've ever done.
It was the Phrenology tour I went on. I went to watch and was so excited at Brixton and I was waiting. I'm a big... fan of Cody Chestnut, and I bought his double album Headphone Masterpiece, which was amazing at the time. And every time someone would drift near the stage, we'd be like, is that Cody? Is Cody here? Is Cody here? Because he sings on the Seed. And then when he came out, it couldn't be more clear who Cody Chestnut is, because he just oozed sexuality and coolness.
But the thing is,
it was amazing.
High impact.
When I went to watch...
High impact. So sexuality.
I take Lisa, my wife, to a lot of gigs, right, to try and convert her to hip-hop. She thinks hip-hop is... music for kids. That's her opinion, right?
Yeah.
Rap is crap.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Fucking,
So, I just could see The Roots. When I just could see The Roots, they brought out Amy Winehouse, right?
Oh, wow.
Like, there's a special guest, Amy Winehouse, and she was, like, fucked. Like, properly, just shouting into the mic or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, but the thing is I think, I've always been of the opinion that hip-hop doesn't represent itself live as well as it should do, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But, so I've taken Lisa to a number of hip-hop gigs. Mm-hmm. The Roots is the only band I've taken her to that she's been a fan of after we left. So everything else, she's gone, that was great. And then I know she's sort of lying because she doesn't want to say that we've wasted an evening.
Yeah.
But the Roots... It was the one that sought out her music afterwards.
Was that a gateway? She never slipped into hip hop from that.
Because the problem was is I've gone to so many live gigs and I've taken her with me, and by the way, I don't want to say it's just hip hop. I'm an Arsenal fan. I've taken her to football games as well, and she's of the opinion that Arsenal look good in the early on and then fuck it up later on, right? So that's fine.
She's nailed
that's
that.
Her opinion.
Yeah.
But with hip hop, I've taken her to so many gigs. The only band that she's been like, I could actually check them out after is The Roots.
It was genuinely a massive thing when I started doing music, was exactly that, was as a kid going to gigs. All the punk gigs I went to, all the metal gigs, all the rock gigs were fucking the most electric and exciting thing. A lot of the rap gigs was like, at least I saw that song that I like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't go away with any buzz. And it was like, I need to take any live energy or excitement from the punk shows and from the metal shows rather than from the rap shows. And
seeing you most excited was when we had a conversation. So I'd just come back from uni and you'd given up. I think they'd chucked you out or something like that.
Yeah, I did leave.
I just came back with... something like a first in the awards. I can't quite remember now. And
a first in economics. Yeah,
it was
a
Mickey Mouse subject, wasn't it? And, did you? How did you get on, mate?
It's the subject that most adds to your potential life earnings.
Not for me, buddy. Not for me, mate. Still washing cars.
So what was the excitement?
You were hyped about... You were telling me about people like Chili Gonzalez.
Yep.
You'd be telling me about... Sage Francis, you'd seen, and you got me into him and people like Saul Williams. because and part of it was, I think there was disappointment with you in bands where people were letting you down, and you'd seen Sage come on stage and play with a fucking CD player.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, you were like, but it's just him with a mic, and it's just pressing play.
But it's just putting that energy in, and not just being just going through the motions.
No,
again.
No, totally.
Can I ask you and Stu a question?
Yeah.
I want to genuinely ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because obviously, let's acknowledge Pip has done quite well for himself, right? And like,
I ain't got a first in economics.
You two,
no, but listen, my, like you two have achieved fuck all, right? So, my friends, they constantly say to me, well, like, for example, last week I went out for a meal with my mates, and they said to me, I don't understand how you've done it in comedy because you're so boring when we go out, right? So, which is fine, I accept that as a thing, right? That's because I'm a boring person socially, right? When you saw him sort of ascend to the sort of profile that he has done...
Good question.
Was that something that you were expecting, or were you surprised by that? What was your sort of reaction?
That's such a good question, Ramesh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was just...
The first thing I've done, anything I'm proud of.
I was just that question about Pip. Your ex-students are going to be so fucking hyped about it. God, man, I didn't expect it to blow up as quickly, because I remember the thing that really... When I first heard him rap, and we're actually doing a documentary about that.
Yeah.
And when I first heard him rap, it was weird as fuck.
Right.
Just to hear your mate, you know, rabbit on about, you know, subjects. But at the same time, the thing was that the content was good. And we were going to a lot of shows at that time. And every now and then you'd see a lot of UK hip hop at that time. And they'd give us CDs, and it was so bad.
Yeah.
And there was no content.
And then you feel like you're listening to it to support the scene that you don't really believe in.
So you listen to rap.
Really. Because we were going to gigs, they just handed it to you, and I needed a new beer coaster. Yeah. But when he was writing stuff, and I was like, that's pretty cool. He just sounds weird, but we'll probably get used to it. And then he wrote a few tracks called like 1,000 Words, Rap Race, that were really, really clever and really deep. And he wrote a few other shit-ins as well. I didn't never like Back From Hell. I love to laugh about that one. Yeah. But predominantly...
It's got the opening line, I'm sentimental. Oh, no. I mean, I'm said to be mental.
When I come back from hell again, I'm going to be so relevant. The relevance of my benevolence is evident.
That's a good fucking line.
I don't like it, man. Twain. Anyway, so...
It's valid. I can't fight it.
We were driving in his like golden Toyota at the time, just before Toyota we Space did Cruiser. a tour. And he was like, I've been playing around with some lyrics for a song, and he did Thou Shout to me.
Yeah.
And we were both like, oh yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's not a big deal. So to see that one get the reaction that he did was kind of surprising.
Well, that's what's interesting on from my angle is never knowing what is going to click or hit through. And Interdiction was the biggest example of that. Yeah. Interdiction, a lot of it was just... Old lines I'd never used. It was kind of, I put together a lot of bits and bobs and kind of tied it together and wrote a load of new stuff. And when that came out and the free cheese and the challenge line just went absolutely mental, I was like, yeah, that is a good line. It's like at the time, I was like, I had no idea, just there was tons of lines in there. People were like, fuck, this is amazing. It's like, all right, cool.
When I first heard that. I loathe to say anything nice about you. But
thank you, fine. Thanks for acknowledging that. It's difficult, he's such an arrogant cunt.
We can say nasty things all day long, man. Let us know when you want us to start.
Let me know when the breakdown is coming, because I want to make him kill himself. Yeah. That's my hope.
Look, with great dick comes great responsibility.
Well done.
Doesn't even make sense. Anyway, Stu, you were about to compliment me.
I'm done. I just thought it was fucking amazing. And I just thought, that's fucking tunes outrageous. Like, where did that come from? And, I was literally just...
It's good fun.
Ringing my mates going, you seen Pip's new video? Like, go and fucking have a listen.
But that was... Exciting as well, because we did that with Aaron Shrimpton and Tom, who's our mate. And the fact is, we filmed it on August 1st and released it on August 3rd. Mm-hmm. So my birthday's August 3rd. So there was no time to decide if it was good, or to have that moment of going, it's great, and then it's shit, and so on and so forth. So it was a real kind of, it's just there.
And yeah,
the only thing I can rip about that, the entire thing, was you were going to me, I'm fucking shaving my beard off for this. I'm fucking shaving my beard off for this. Yeah. I'm fucking shaving my beard off. Yeah. And then I watch it, and you take literally an inch off your beard. Because your crowd wouldn't have known
that. You shaved
that,
about as much as that bag of pubes that he gave you for Christmas.
Yeah, less than that, mate.
I mean, mate.
And he tried selling it. And I created an eBay account, and I was bidding for it and sending him weird questions. He didn't know. I was going, is this beard or pubes?
With a pair of scissors, no mirror, whilst rapping. I'm not going to give a fucking clean shave.
No, shit.
Did my best, mate. Fucking hell.
You gave him a bag of pubes for Christmas?
Once or twice.
Yeah. It's a few times.
It was such a successful gift, you did it again.
Yeah, when you get that kind of a
The gift that keeps giving.
Once to you. And Stu?
No, you got me a box with a rock in it, didn't you? Mm. And I opened it and I just thought...
That's great. What a lovely story.
He's bought me a fucking rock. And I thought nothing of it, but I thought I'll keep it because it's a gift. And then
he bought it.
About 2 years later, I was just having a little clear out in my room, and I thought, what the fuck was that anyway? So I thought, I'm going to bin it. So I've emptied it into my hand, and then just on the bottom, just said, I hope you die soon, you cunt.
That is lovely. That is so nice.
It's a gift I kept giving. 2 years like that.
You like that, though. It is a long payoff. 2 years down the line. Joke, yeah.
That's good.
You enjoyed it.
And the irony being, it said, I hope you die soon. And he didn't find out until 2 years later. So you'd already beaten it. You'd already beaten the curse.
But then you got the
curse.
You got the lump removed. And
when do we get to the turn mills?
Oh, dear.
Well, Chris was saying that maybe we do it in the next one.
I'm cool whenever.
Are we allowed to say times on this?
It's 10 to 8. Yeah, no, that's one of the rules. No times.
You were, it's 1996.
What? Let's get the turn mill story. Let's do the terminal story. What time do people have to get away? Can we fit one more episode in?
Yeah.
Everyone seems to be enjoying themselves.
Siri jumped in. We know it's not 1996.
Do you know what? I'm here as long as you need me, bro.
Because
I'm going to be honest with you, I've got nothing else going on. The tour's finished, I don't even know if my career's carrying on.
Well, shall we go for the terminal story now? And then in the next part, we will get the rest of the year. So we'll do...
Hold on. It's 10 to 8. Yeah. We start at 4 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And we've got to...
No, we started
we've
at
got
half.
To March.
Yeah.
We know like, that dude. Leo got an Oscar.
And also, let's clarify this. Stu mentioned something that happened in February that didn't happen in February.
Yeah. So we just went with it because we had nothing for February. It was beautiful for everyone to go, fucking... Fabric getting closed down in February. That was because we'd clearly drawn a blank with Chris's notes on that one.
How are we doing on time? Because I need to use a bathroom.
Well, you can't get out of that. So apparently you perform best when you need the toilet.
That's what David Cameron says.
So let's get
it's good enough for David
so
Cameron.
So let's get Craig's terminal story, in the last episode we'll round up the rest of the year. So this one
stuff happened.
I mean, it involves. One of my concerts, right? Craig was at one of my gigs.
I can't even remember because Craig told me that he was really heartbroken.
Yeah.
Why? And I think this is love. This story is about because he had been with a girl.
Yeah.
Once. Yeah. He'd been dating her for about 8 months. She lived in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And that weekend.
How old is Craig in this story?
I don't know. I think Craig's about 26.
Mid-20s, mid to late 20s.
Had he finished university?
Oh, yeah.
With
right.
a first.
The whole, with a first and a Wall Street and Bank of Scotland.
And he not clubbing on the head by then and he just kind of stopped.
It definitely calmed down.
Has he used that first and those awards to sort of make it?
He went to Outback Steakhouse for a bit.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah, he didn't really like banking.
Worked there or just went there?
Just went there, bankrupted him. He was dating a girl. He was going to go and see her in Cheltenham.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the weekend he planned. He was going to say, guess what? I love you.
Oh,
probably wouldn't have said it like that. I love you.
And
it
for
was
Craig, that's like, massive.
Well, it was for Craig because, we know what Craig's like. So Craig was kind of like, what's this feeling?
Yeah.
So,
always ask him to guess first.
guess what? Ghostbusters is my favourite film.
Yeah. I told her that. And she didn't care.
She already knew.
And
it was all over his face.
So he'd booked the Megabus. He booked the mega bus to see her in Cheltenham.
To Cheltenham, right, yeah.
And she dropped him a little message and said,
Guess what? It's finished.
Tell the fucking story, mate. Jesus
really close. So basically, she said, Ramesh, she said,
you might want to strap yourself in, Ramesh. The last one took about 2 hours for him to get his story
so
out.
So basically, she basically said, have you got your ticket yet?
And, for the Megabirth?
Yeah.
Right.
Craig thought that was weird. Mostly serious. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't the Megabus, but it only cost like £4.
Yeah.
And he said, no, because he thought this was a weird thing to ask. And she went, good, because I need to call you. Call me. Guess what?
Call Craig.
Guess what? It's over.
It's over.
So Craig was like, you know, home, had a good old fucking
Did you say, guess what? I was about to tell you I love you.
Never.
Did she say, guess what? Before she dumped you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Craig. You're
she said, guess what? And you said, I love you. She said, it's over.
The opposite.
And you said, oh. Craig, awkward. Sorry. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, he didn't. He didn't say because he thought that that was, like, you know, manipulative, so he didn't bother saying it. So, like, months
Is that the reason or just incredibly awkward? I mean...
No, because that's not how it went. She didn't, you know, I'm not...
Can I ask why she ended it with you? Because did she say you've never...
Too sexy.
Yeah. Did she not know you was good at hide and seek and whatever?
I think it was...
Every time she says, you're getting too sexy.
Guess what?
If you don't get too sexy... It'll be okay.
Just chill it out a bit. Just chill out the sex in the
story. That's what, and also, Ramesh, that's what I said. I said, I can't stop this. I can't. Sexy by default.
Yeah. You play pony too early, brother.
I like to let dogs savage me. That's my thing.
But I will put my thumb through your eye for 40 seconds.
The bum will do.
For up to 40 seconds. Yeah.
No, you're right. So
Craig spiralled over them 2 months, I imagine.
Yeah, he didn't do too good, and he wasn't in the market.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't looking for anything.
He wasn't in the market.
Heartbroken, Craig. Go on.
So he wasn't in the market.
You're getting the format, Ramesh.
Go on.
So basically.
Go on.
So 2 months have passed.
Yeah.
He's.
It was a Scroobius Pip gig, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Whereabouts?
Oh,
I fucking hate that cunt. I don't know about you.
I don't know. I think you love him.
Behalf of the nation.
Yeah, so yeah, it was Termills. You guys, do you ever go to Termills, Brett?
Yeah, I believe I've been.
Yeah?
I've been, yeah.
It's a big old place, isn't it? It's a big...
It is. Have you been as well?
Craig has, that's what he said, yeah.
Proof if nothing.
Yeah. Hang on, so it's Scroobius Pip gig at Termills.
At Termills.
2 months after Cheltenham has said, guess what?
Yeah,
it's the opposite of your guess what?
You're gone. Yeah.
Right.
He's been well behaved, but he's
dead inside,
partying a lot. He's dead inside.
Yeah,
and someone, one of his good girl mates, basically pushes a girl in front of Craig.
Yeah,
and she looks just about in the sort of dead inside, drunk sort of state that Craig's in.
Above 14, ready to go.
It's like a red rag to his balls.
Glass on the wicket, let's play cricket.
Just to clarify, she was of age. And
what's your age?
This is not a molestation story.
Okay,
cool. Okay. By the way,
it's still is molestation if they're of age.
Thank you, pardon.
What the fuck? It made no sense.
Okay, so your mate.
Yeah, yeah. Let's have a quick recap from Ramesh. Ramesh, what's happening, dude?
Previously on Craig.
Your mate pushes a child in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, a woman of age, Craig, who's dead inside. She pushes her in front of you.
I don't know if she's dead inside.
No, no, Craig was dead inside.
Oh,
no, I'm talking about the young lady. I don't know if Craig had asked enough questions.
No. Brett is saying that Craig was dead inside and the lady was pushed in front.
Give me a breakdown.
She's just a young lady who's a little bit drunk, looks quite attractive. She's wearing sort of those sexy sort of stocking things.
Oh, red. Just them?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Right.
So basically, they don't have a conversation. They just start kissing.
Sweet.
But it gets out of gets a little bit out of control. They're rolling around in the literally in this kind of small part of the club.
It's in the corridor.
When you say it goes out of control, whose control is it out of? Because
yeah,
you are describing a rape.
I think it's pretty important we clear this up.
Did Scroobius Pip see this from the stage? He was ago? I'm trying to do a gig.
I think the gig had finished at that point. Because yeah. Oh, I feel we were loading out and stuff like that at that point. Right. But yeah,
well, I'll tell you what, someone was loaded out.
Loading in.
So you hadn't even spoke... Craig hadn't even spoke to her?
No.
And they just...
Your mate goes... Here's a girl.
They look at each other and then they start dancing and
just
then
fire.
And honest, yeah, Jesus. It's quite kind
just
of quick.
Fire.
Right. It escalated quickly.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they end up in a corridor because everyone's sick of looking at them
in the middle of the
main room.
Yeah.
So just start quickly have sex
in a corridor
in the corridor of a club.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there pants down, there like trousers down your ankles. Less,
there was a few security guards, and
what? That's protection, isn't it?
One of the best from AIDS.
I won't get AIDS. There's at least two security guards and five cameras. I'm not getting. He's not getting AIDS from
ain't,
that.
Ain't nothing sneaking past that security.
But it did raise
even,
a lot of
not even,
questions.
Not even a virus.
Not
even a virus would get past that level of protection.
So you're just having sex in the corridor.
And
Craig is, sorry.
Are you fucking? Oh my god, Brett!
Craig, you fucking wanker!
Pay attention, Brett, mate.
Craig Gleason.
Guess what? It was Craig.
Yeah.
So they're just having sex in a corridor. Are people?
I just think that's a rap record.
Are people walking past?
What's my name? Craig. Guess what? It was Craig.
So are other people in this corridor? Are people walking past? Is his little
from
bum
what
out?
Craig said,
are these security guards?
I think so, mate.
I'm assuming it's sex against a wall.
You know, we're ad-libbing here. There weren't security
guards watching. Break it down. I want the deal.
You're stupid away, mate. Come on.
You're saying we're ad-libbing here, like everything else has been scripted.
So she's got
he's put down his laptop. This is there. He's gone off piste.
You got your trousers off, or have you just like
no?
Poked
who would do that?
No, you that's fucking walked around the nightclub sense. With your lob on.
You've
it.
Never had sex in, and you know you don't pull yet. You don't get naked to start
what, to have sex.
You.
If this ends with and Reed or I married her, then this is. So you've just popped it out. You've just popped it out the fly.
Out the zipper.
Did you get naked when you were resuscitating that guy?
Yes, we've established that.
Stripped to the waist.
Yeah, under his t-shirt. Sure.
So his bum wasn't out. He just
I
opened his
know.
Fly.
I don't know. I wasn't looking if my bum was out, to be honest. If Craig's bum was out.
You're looking at the cold hard sex.
It started getting more attention because Craig kept on getting pats on the back as it was happening.
Congratulations, mate.
It was in this corridor. It was a kind of dark corridor. I think it was over the counter of a cloakroom, but no one was using that cloakroom.
Right. People just patting
you. Were they pats of congratulations or that kind of move it on?
Yeah.
Enough's enough.
After about the third person, I was kind of like, I was losing my... Craig was losing his rhythm.
Yeah. Right.
So they were like, okay, let's go outside. And
Craig loves an outside.
Craig and the security guards. Right. Even the guys watching the cameras, they'd followed.
Yeah.
So Craig and the young lady. And again, a lot of Craig's stories.
The security guard
was longing for
it. So Craig has taken this young lady outside to continue the gameplay?
No, they thought they'd just get a hotel quickly.
Sweet.
So they
yeah.
So they popped to the hotel next to Turnmills.
Oh, really? There's just a hotel there.
But we walked in there. I mean, I was just watching, and they wouldn't let Craig and one female.
Weird. They probably how weird thought... is it that a hotel next to a nightclub wouldn't let people in at 1 a.m? That's so.
Why not?
I think it's rude.
Yeah. They probably assumed some kind of prostitution.
Maybe.
Male or female. You never know.
He asked for a room for an hour. That raised suspicion.
Craig did ask a room for roughly an hour. So that's very, very accurate. Very, very accurate that Craig said, look, you know, we're not staying all night. It's like, it's 2 a.m, Jesus. You know,
7 to 14 minutes.
By the way, what a wonderfully spiritual thing to say. It's 2 a.m, Jesus. It's 2 a.m, Jesus.
So what happened? What did they call
they
it?
They said
night?
No. They said fucking no.
Wow. Right.
So they.
So is that where it ends?
No, they just decide to have sex on the round the back of the hotel.
Just round the back of the hotel. I bet
right,
the hotel
was round the back.
It wasn't even the car park.
More
bin
bags. As long as you're near
more bin bags. Classic Craig.
Craig's got a fetish for bin bags.
There was more like there was all the dump trucks there and whatever. Well, the dump bins, you know. And then they started again.
Yeah.
And they got another tap on the shoulder. And it was the guy who was in the hotel. Yeah. And he was kind
of
like,
the reception
for
man.
For fuck's sake, mate, just come with us.
Hold on.
Who was this guy?
The guy from reception.
Spoke to about two or three hours before.
Right. The guy from reception.
In reception, yeah. But
what do you mean two?
You've been 2 or 3 hours.
You've been 2 or 3 hours in a bit.
There we go.
I'm
paying attention.
I think Craig's nose is getting quite long here. He's telling porkies.
So obviously, literally, like 3 or 4 minutes, they were like, you know, right. Don't do that.
Oh, stop 3 or 4 minutes. Okay.
It was a joke. Humour.
Okay.
So basically, they said, well, you can have a room, and you know, then they went upstairs and
consumed
what happy free room?
After. Well, no, I think it was Craig showed me the receipt, it's about 80 quid.
80 quid? That's reasonable. That.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
You know.
He ejaculated Brett to sit to one of our sex works.
What happened to you and the mystery girl?
Make something up.
Just imagine the rest of it, dude.
I want to know what happens next after you just went.
That's where it
and
ends.
And then basically there's Craig a pregnancy and then Craig had to deal with it.
Quick couple of questions. It's a fair question. The protection thing.
Did
you put a condom on while you're standing in terminals?
No. Did Craig put on a condom? Craig was absolutely
Brett, Craig was broken at the time.
Hold on.
Yeah, but
why would Craig need a condom in terminals?
Because he had sex in terminals.
Do you have sex in the
corridor? Yeah, in the corridor,
Jesus Christ.
How this started.
This is where.
See, because how I'm imagining it is you put a condom on and then you waddle over with your pants around your ankle, waddle over to the hotel.
I did a penguin.
I'll be honest with you, I don't want to speak for Craig.
Yeah.
If I've been in a corridor with
but on behalf of the nation,
that night is fairly close to an end. I'm very close to just watching Big Bang Theory on Netflix. that's the honest truth of it.
Because.
You know, Craig hadn't finished by that point. I don't think that young lady had.
This is like a happy Craig story.
No, this all ends well. Well, it kind of ends well. They never had any conversation. And probably...
Did you know her name? No, you hadn't even spoke to her.
Oh, it's Craig.
Craig, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Ramesh's on top of this shit. Craig.
What, so when they finished... Went in the room.
They woke up in the morning and she got up and left in disgust.
And then Craig got up and walked out.
And the only things they ever discussed were it was just sexual provocation.
Was it dirty talk?
Yeah.
Was there some dirty talk? Any dirty requests?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
She walked out and Craig went, this is the brand new flavour in the air. I'll bring it, new flavour in the air. Time for the flavour.
Wow. So it just ended and Craig never
was
heard from
Craig
her again.
Cured
well, no,
of his
because
heartbreak.
No, he had to go on a round of treatment to be cured from that round of heartbreak.
Really?
Yeah, he was petrified he had AIDS. He was like, you know, it was a terrible
decision. There might be a little Craig out there somewhere.
No, never pretty maybe, but
he's gonna be fucking wiggle with AIDS.
Craig's baby. Craig
Owens' baby.
On that note, we're going to end this episode. We will continue in the next episode. Tune in to see how drunk Ramesh gets. Sadly, he's finished the run now, but we will continue. See you in a bit.
You've been listening to Scooby Pips Discretion Pieces.